Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Last episode, we saw Ryan and Catherine finally entering into San Francisco proper. They saw the city, they saw the life there, it's buzzing with life, but you could see the cracks from it as well. They ended up finding a group of luminary cult members, all walking, they were chanting, and then they followed them to the Ascendant Tower, the headquarters of the luminaries. They find out that there is an event going on for new members, and so using that trusty black credit card that they happen to have on them, thank you, Luke. They were able to pay the fee to get in and buy all the items that they need as new members. We saw that Luke was taken into the highest floor with his father, and his father wants him to bend the knee. His father tells him that they can both transform the city. Will Luke bend the knee to his father? Is the question that will be answered in this final episode of The Electric State, The Path to Dawn. Last time we ended on everybody shaking the hand of one Alexander Sterling. Or Alex, as he likes to go by. He is the Radiant Shepherd. Ryan shakes his hand and keeps walking. Catherine, face fresh with tears, finally approached the man who took the life of her son. And that's where we are now.
She asks this question quite quietly, so any of the people maybe behind her in the line would be able to hear it. How do you decide which ones die? How do you decide which ones get to live?
And he raises his hand, and the line stops. I believe you're referring to the cleansing, yes?
She gives a firm nod.
Listen, the cleansing is misunderstood by those who fear change. They see death, but I see rebirth, okay? Those who pass from this world are the first to reach the new dawn. They were willing to sacrifice everything to become the brightest lights in the coming age. You see loss? I see ascension.
But how do you choose?
I do not choose. People make the decision for themselves. They're volunteers. And they're strong for it. He smiles at you.
Volunteer?
They volunteer to be great. And greatness requires sacrifice. Look around. Those who cling to their possessions, their past, they're trapped. But those who let go, they are free. Ascending to a higher purpose.
Why haven't you ascended?
Well, again, I didn't choose the name, but I am the shepherd. I must shepherd people. People can't ascend without me. You understand?
I heard martyrs are quite strong shepherds.
Maybe. I wasn't meant to be a martyr, though. We all have our callings.
Do you think so?
Oh, I know so, Miss Catherine. We all have our callings, what we're meant to do, and mine is to shepherd people to the eternal light. And he's standing really close to you as his hand is on your shoulder. You know what? I like these questions. New members coming in curious. He smiles at you. And you can smell his cologne. It's a light scent of wood.
What if instead of shepherding people, you were meant to meet them there?
You know what? That's a good question. I just don't believe that is the path for me.
Would you like to find out? And then I'm gonna use the gun. I don't know how it works, though.
So you're going to pull it out?
Yeah.
Try to shoot him.
But the way I want to do it, so his hand's on my shoulder, right?
Yes.
So it would be on my hip, in the waistband of my underwear. It would be like up underneath rather than like at him. So it'd be up under. So like not under the chin, but that's where she's aiming. So like under the chin, because they're that close.
Are you going to shoot immediately or just like...
No, immediately. As soon as she says, would you like to find out? As soon as she says it like that.
Okay. He's gonna see it.
Mm-hmm.
And his security is immediately going to see it. It's going to be a contested roll. He's going to try to stand his ground, okay? So you go ahead and roll.
Oh, no successes.
He's going to roll too.
Wait. I'm going to push it.
She's going to push everybody.
Not again.
So with the push, go ahead and tell us what you did.
I got 0 successes again. 0 failures.
He's rolling. Agility to like move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not able to get out of the way, but your gun goes off and I'm thinking your hand is shaky. You are really close, but it just like skims and goes off right by his ear.
Mm-hmm.
You all see security is rushing towards the stage now. Okay, Luke, what would you like to do?
When I saw the scat pulling out the gun and everything, I immediately grab the arm of my father and I tell him, Dad, you're right. I was a coward. But this time I think I couldn't protect my mother last time, but I found somebody worth protecting. And I just try to pull him and stab him.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen because it's like an improvised weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an unarmed roll and it just does 1 damage. There's no bonus.
That's fine.
So yes, you are rolling, you're rolling strength.
Well. I only have 2 of that. Oh, shit. Double failure.
2 failures. What would you like to do?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make a scene. I'm not thinking I will succeed or anything. I'm just trying to get everybody to stop focusing on the gun and start focusing on me.
Because you and your father is not as important as a Radiant Shepherd in his life, it looks like it's just you and your dad. You see people, it is after the gunshot has gone off, people are screaming. A lot of people are running out of the building, and it's only the security that is rushing forward. Okay, so Luke, it's really like you and your dad against each other. Ryan.
Ryan would kind of look at Kat and see how she's made her choice, and well, he has that deep dreaded, like, I should run, I should leave. But he looks at the security that would be closest to her and he's going to try to run and delay them at least, like put himself in front of them and kind of try to sidestep them just to give her a little more time.
Okay, so there is a lot of security and you're just trying to delay them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get in their way enough. Like.
Okay, so it's going to be agility at a -1 because you're going up against at least like 6 guys now who are running towards the stage.
Man, rolling 4 die, no successes. I'm gonna push it. Oh, it's still no successes.
Okay, so no successes, no failures, so you don't lose hope. But what happens is you try to get in the way, they're not even noticing you. Like, you are easily pushed out of the way as the cult security guards are running towards the stage. Catherine, it's all of them. They grab onto you. And the Radiant Shepherd says, no, stop.
Oh my God.
Don't do anything just yet. You think my life hasn't been threatened before? You hear him breathing hard. Huh, Miss Catherine? But I understand, you're lost. You're one lost woman, but I offer forgiveness. That's the kind of man I am. He has a weird kind of maniacal smile on his face now.
different than that one that seemed charming before. There's a crazed look in his eye, partly because he was almost shot. There's some type of rush going on in his face now that you can see, as they're all holding on to you and he walks closer to you.
How close is he to me?
Pretty close, like arm's length away. He's not up in your face.
Have I still got my gun?
It's you again. There's like a lot of men holding on to you. I don't imagine you have the gun. You can try. They're going to try to pry it out, but it's you against all of them. So it's a group of people.
I maybe have it in my arm, but I can't really angle it anywhere.
They're going to try to actually wrench it out of your hand. You could try to keep it with a strength roll, but it's going to be at a -2 as you're going against all of those men trying to keep it in your hand.
Is that my action? If I try and keep it?
That would be, yes, that would be like a reaction. So then you would lose your action on the next turn. Surge's face is hilarious.
What? I am tense, okay? Leave me be.
Your hands are kind of, you're restricted. You can't really move. So.
She's gonna spit in his face.
He goes to wipe his face. To outsiders, it may look extreme, but you have to understand. The transformation we seek cannot be reached by half measures. The old world must fall before the new dawn rises, Miss Catherine. As he dabs at his face and, dries it off.
And what have you sacrificed? What have you given up for this new dawn? Huh?
I've given my life. I've given my time to this cause.
Oh, your time and your life where you have this big fancy tower and your security guards who can hold people back from harming you and your loving and devoted followers who hang on to your every word. Yeah, that seems like you've given up a lot.
Now, Miss Catherine, why would I not have security if my life has been threatened before? Why would I not want to be safe?
No, but we're talking about sacrifice right now. You say you've sacrificed and you say you've dedicated your life, but it doesn't seem like you've sacrificed anything when all you really have is all of this security and all of these followers that hang on to your every word, like I said. So what really have you sacrificed? You don't know anything about sacrifice.
And you do, Miss Catherine?
You don't know what?
Tell me.
You don't know anything.
What have you sacrificed? What have you lost? Huh? And he's smiling at you again. He walks closer and he has his hands in his pockets now and he's looks more relaxed. Saunters up to you. You don't have much time, Miss Catherine. The police are on their way.
About a year ago, there was a boy who was desperate to find someone who understood him. And I'll try and keep it brief because, like you said, the police are on their way. But he really looked up to you and he really thought that you understood him. He ascended. And he was my son. he was my baby. He was my only child. He made me a mother.
No,
I won't. You will listen to me because I have traveled all of this way.
He taps his mouth, and one of the guards covers your mouth. He goes, stop. Thank you. Listen, your son, you say. I'm afraid so many souls have come and gone, all part of the journey to the light, of course. Names tend to blur when they've already stepped beyond this world. You know, I don't remember every soul that passes through, Catherine. When they ascend, they are no longer bound by who they were. And he smiles at you. Listen, I don't make choices for anyone, least of all your son. He found his own path as they all do, okay? I simply provide the light, and then they decide how to follow it. Whatever pain you hold, it's because you still cling to the old world. Now your son, he let go. You could learn something from him. And he taps at his mouth again, and the guard removes his hand.
She spits at him again. Not like in his face, but like maybe at the floor next to him. You will die writhing and begging for it to end. Maybe not by me. Maybe not by me, but someone. Someone else that you've stolen from. They'll get you.
He says, you know, it's Like, fixes his hair. You know, it's funny. Do you think you're the first person to come here with accusations, with grief? You know, all of them felt what they feel now, and yet I remain. Because I offer more than the pain of the past, Miss Catherine. I offer the dawn. Do you understand? You want something, you want someone to blame? Miss Burton?
Her frown kind of, like, softens, like him knowing her surname.
Blame the world that failed him. Blame the darkness that engulfs everything. I only showed him the light, okay? Stop holding on to the idea of who your son was. And he, like, cocks his head, and the guards start to drag you off the stage.
One of us will get you. I promise you, one of us will get you.
And you see his hands kind of come together in, like, that praying motion. He kind of just bows at you with a small smile on his face. And we cut back to Luke and his father. Luke had just tried to stab his dad. His dad takes out a gun out of his breast pocket.
I'm still going for it. Now that I see the gun, I'm trying to get that gun out of his hands.
Luke, I wasn't hoping it would come down to this. Obviously, you don't care. Obviously, you have not seen the light, as Mr. Sterling calls it. I don't care to continue this conversation. As he raises hands, and it goes, you see the gun like near your gut area, and he goes to shoot. And if you want to have a reaction to try to like stand your ground or like run, roll away, you can try if you would like.
I'm taking it. I'm assuming I'm seeing Cat just getting grabbed by all of the security.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking it, because this is not for me. This is for Kat.
I'm going to roll for your father and his gun, and we'll see. With no successes, your father does not land a hit, and that is his action. We will go back to you, Luke. What would you like to try to do?
I imagine I was able to skirt where the bullet just hits, just went through me, and since the gun is so up close, I'll try to grab the gun.
Okay, so that is a strength roll to try to pry it out of his hand as you rush at him.
Yeah, sure. I'm weak. Yeah, I'm weak at it, but this is the only way I can see truth. This is me standing.
Double success! Double success! Double success!
Okay, so it's going to be an opposed roll, okay? So he's going to roll strength as well. I'll let you know, he only has 2 in strength. So he...
Oh, we're both weak.
Yeah, so let's see. I'm going to roll, you know, doubtful that he'll roll 2. He only rolls 1 success. And you have...
Fuck you, Dad.
You have just enough strength to pry the gun out of his hands. And that was your action. We go to you, Ryan, as you see the security walking Catherine to the front of the door, as you hear sirens making their way closer to the building.
Seeing Kath being dragged away, definitely Ryan will run after her just to see if he can at least grab onto one of the guards.
You could try to grab onto one of the guards, but they're just like, son, please move out the way.
You can't just take her.
Do you understand that she did something illegal? You understand that, right?
Yeah, but nothing happened. We can all just forget about this and walk away. It wasn't even that serious.
Unfortunately, that's not how the law works. So you will let go of me, or we will have to detain you as well.
You can't take her, okay?
Are you letting go?
No.
Okay, so there are more guards here. So 2 of them will come and hold on to you.
I guess he would just shout out for Cap and be...
Yeah.
Can't really wrestle 2 guards, so he'd be led to the side.
Yeah, so you're just led off to the side. You see that Kath is making her way to like the wide double doors, and we see that the Radiant Shepherd has a couple guards with him as well as he is making his way out of the conference room. Luke, what would you like to do?
They're going the same direction, Kath and the Radiant Shepherd.
Also, this is happening in like... Real quick, this is all happening in like a matter of seconds. So you also have a matter of seconds before more guards come and try to stop you, because there's been gunshots going off with you and your dad. So Yeah. So you have your action as you see guards coming towards you as well.
Okay, quick question. Is Kat and the Radiant Shepherd going towards the same direction?
No.
No? Does Kat can see the Radiant Shepherd?
I don't believe so. Her back is turned. She has guards leading her out of the building. The Radiant Shepherd is going through another door, kind of like near the back of the stage.
Can I see the Radiant Shepherd?
You can. You can also see guards with him as well. And a couple that are coming to, like, rush towards you. You have a gun, so.
Do I have a clear line of shot towards the Radiant Shepherd?
Not that clear, because there are guards in between you. There's, like, two sets of guards.
I shout at Kat. Kat! So that she turns her head towards the direction mm-hmm. I aim at the Radiant Shepherd.
Okay, so you're aiming the gun. It's going to be at a -2 because you have two lines of defense. Because you might hit like one of the guards instead of him.
Rolling. Oh, can't even push that. Double failure. I'm rolling only double failures or double success. Nothing else. And this is double failure.
You have guards coming at you as another fire goes off. A shot goes off. You hear two of them shout at you, "Put the gun down now! Now!" And they all have their guns like aimed at you. What do you do? Because it's their action now. So depending on what you do, they'll react.
I am not listening. I'm doing this for Kat. I'm firing, if anything.
They're shouting, "Put the gun down now or we'll shoot."
Yeah, I'm not listening to that.
Okay, so one of the guards goes to shoot to kind of neutralize you.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
Not reacting. I'm standing tall. This is all in for Kat.
Okay. So one of them shoots at you to try to neutralize you, to get you down so that you're no longer trying to like run and like rush that. Because it's obvious who you're trying to shoot now. So let me roll for them. They have one success. And so with that success, they shoot you. The bullet lands right near like your clavicle and your shoulder area. And you take 2 damage. There are more guards.
I'm still up. I'm still up, guys.
You take that shot right into the arm. The other one shouts, "Gun down now!"
Because I got shot and I'm still standing up and aiming. I'm ignoring them. Like, they can shoot me all they want. I'm a man in a mission and I have one target.
Okay, another one. He sees that the gun is not going down. Are you even trying to like move forward and like chase after the Radiant Shepherd? Or just standing there?
No, I am standing there and just aiming there. I am not in a position to run or anything. My eyes, I saw Kat going away. I saw the Radiant Shepherd going away, still up. My mind is just like, if anything, this will put Kat not as the main threat, but me as the main threat. So if she ever gets an opportunity, she has an opportunity. I am right now making a scene for her sake. I already made my peace with my dad, and I'm just going to fire.
Catherine, so you do hear the shots going off. You hear them, you hear the shouting. The guards only stop for, like, they pause for a second, and you can turn your head to see all this as the second guard takes a shot at Luke.
Hey campers, have you heard of season 5 of 5 Gems in a Trench Coat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes, in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of 3 childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, second guard shoots. I got 2 successes. So that is 3 damage that you take.
I'm dead.
As the second one goes in your gut, and you start to see blood pools from his stomach and his shoulder.
Uh, face plants.
You also see Radiant Shepherd makes his way out the back door near the back of the stage.
Kath just starts like violently starts like twisting and like trying to like get out of the guard's grip.
Are you trying to like, you want to roll for it to get out?
I mean, I can. It's only to run to Luke.
You can. They are holding on to you. It is two guards, so you'll be at a -2 for your strength roll to try to get out of that.
Rolling one die.
There's that possibility still.
So what? Strength -2.
Yes.
Nope. Actually, I'll push it. Nope. Zero successes on both.
You're struggling against the guards, holding onto your arms, and you can feel like their muscles like tightening up as they're holding onto you even stronger.
I feel like the security are like holding her weight. So like once she's like fought and like she literally cannot, she literally just hangs limp, like her head goes limp, like her whole body goes limp. So like the guards are literally just holding her up by her arms.
They're holding you up. And Ryan, you could see all of this. They're holding you off to the side. You can finally see the police cars arrive. There's about 3 armed policemen, guns out, as they're shouting directions at people. And it becomes a little bit of a chaotic moment. As the security hands you over to the police, and they let you know your rights. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to a lawyer. If you do not have access, one will be provided. All the Miranda rights. As you're being walked to the back of a police car, what is she thinking at this moment?
I think she's only thinking of Luke. Because, like, all she's thought about it, like, this entire time is literally just, like, how she's gonna confront, like, the Radiant Shepherd and James and, like, how, like, everything's been taken from her. I think, like, even though, like, she didn't get to speak to Luke after finding out that, like, he knew about the Radiant Shepherd and the relationship, partnership that he had with his father, and she never got to confront him with that, he still did that for her anyway.
Ryan, you see Catherine being passed between the guards and the policemen. And them talking to her, they have one places their hand on her head to make sure she doesn't hit it as she is guided into the back of a police car. And you can see her face. I imagine Kath kind of looking forward? Is she spaced out a bit?
Oh, completely spaced. Like, there's like no emotion anywhere. She looks like she's not even on the planet at the moment.
Now that, you know, the source of the person you were trying to get to is in the police car and secure. The security guards let you go and they give you a pat on the shoulder.
Ryan kind of has this like lost, bewildered look. He tries to meet Kath's gaze, but sees that she's kind of lost in that squad car. And then he'll look at the form of Luke on the ground. I think he kind of slowly walk towards him just to like this hesitant kind of walk as if he doesn't really want to know the truth of what he's seeing, kind of. Luke, he kind of whispers a bit. He reaches into his robes and he kind of pulls out all those photos and it's all the scenery, and he kind of feels this deep pit in his stomach because he had thought that even when they were around the fire that might have been a good chance to take a photo of everyone. He just sees that there's only the photo of him alone on the beach, and he kind of just feels that just crushing weight a bit as he tucks those back in.
You see that an ambulance has shown up, paramedics rush into here. It gets pretty chaotic, like fairly fast. As police rush in, they rush to you and they start asking you questions. They kind of move your body away from Luke's body as well. Paramedics come in and like they cover his body with a sheet. For Luke, what are his thoughts as his heartbeat starts to slow and he can feel the life being taken?
He's just negating that it's rather disappointing that with his mother, it's all about running. And at one time, when he actually stand his ground, it was futile. And it's just a great sense of failure. And that's it.
The last thing you see as the light is finally snuffed out, you see the clean dress shoes of your father as they step near your face. And then it all goes black.
He has this moment of hopefulness as he sees these doctors rushing over, but the moment they put the sheet on, it just gets this kind of dark look to his eyes. It kind of confirms that there was nothing that they could do. And it kind of just, he mutters a few things, like just like vague sentences, and kind of gets bumped as all these people are rushing forward and slowly begins to kind of backpedal a bit.
Catherine is driven to the nearest police station. Ryan, after they're done asking you questions, they let you go. You are an adult. Still has a black card on him. What would you like to do? You find yourself alone in San Francisco.
Definitely would look for a hotel or somewhere to stay. The car's in no shape to sleep in, but he has that black card, at least for a little while. So to regain his thoughts, he kind of just walks the sidewalk and looks at the different storefronts and buildings just to see if there's anywhere that he could just rest his head for a bit until he can find out where Kath went. He'll kind of try to look over the city skyline to see if he can see the Golden Gate Bridge. And after seeing like just rows and rows of buildings, he kind of shakes his head a bit as if it was pointless.
You try to get information on Catherine, but because you are technically not family, you're not able to get anything. They don't release any information to you.
In that case, he kind of would collect his Polaroid from the abandoned car. The door kind of didn't latch closed and locked, so he kind of wrenches that open, grabs his Polaroid, and one of his final purchases, at least. He doesn't know how long the card will last, but he definitely would get a taxi to take him to the Golden Gate Bridge. To at least one of the tourist traps. But the whole way there, as he's kind of just sitting in the back, he's kind of looking at the other empty seats, and he's just seeing the people there that he had been riding with up until that point. And he'll like occasionally say something to the driver, like, "Hey, do you want a snack?" Then realizing that he kind of misspoke as he was digging through his bag and saw some snacks that reminded him of Luke and what he'd passed back in the back seats. And he'd think about how Kath's always seemed to know her way around as she drove. And so that he kind of would kind of stare at the driver and see somebody different, and the driver probably would give him a weird stare back. And then he would think about Imani and how she would parse through her bag, and then there was almost kind of a wall she formed in the back. And he smiled at that. But he'd look for kind of a quiet little sequestered outlook and kind of just sit on the bench next to his Polaroid camera and just look at the bridge and see. Just think if they had made it there, what that might have been like. Probably Luke being kind of just a little OCD and cleaning the bench, and Kath kind of sitting there and pointing out a few cool locations that Ryan could walk over to and get a good picture of the bridge. And he kind of feels those tears build up. a bit. And in that similar sense that when he was alone on the beach, he kind of just picks up the Polaroid, kind of sets the Golden Gate Bridge in that in his viewfinder as the sun's kind of getting lower. And then he kind of just whispers to himself, he's like, "This is for you guys." And kind of clicks the button, just hears that familiar whir. But his vision gets more and more blurry and he can't see the bridge. He's caught in the viewfinder.
As you're there and the sun's going down, you see that there are some people there walking about. And you see an old man comes to sit next to you. And you see he has a cane and he's kind of struggling to get up the little steps to sit on that bench as well. But eventually he makes it. And he comes and he has like a sack of like food with him. And he sits down and you see him quietly unwrap it. He has a sandwich there. And he slowly has the other half and he looks over at you. And just silently hands you the other half of his sandwich.
He'll nod at that, kind of. He used the edge of his wrist to kind of just wipe at his eyes. But thank you.
And you seem like slowly nod at you as you hear seagulls and the sound of the ocean nearby.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
And that's the end of The Electric State, The Path to Dawn. Ryan eventually makes his way back home to LA. How long do you think that would have taken him? Do you think he would have stayed in San Francisco a few more days, a few weeks?
Yeah, I think he would stay there a few more days to take in a little more of the sights before kind of getting his fill of pictures and then finally kind of realizing that he should probably head home as there's no one he knows here and there's not too much for him here.
As you buy a ticket, you know, to get on the Greyhound back down south to LA. Greyhound is about a day's drive, but you finally make it back home. And you're walking those fateful steps back to your apartment where your family's at, your mother and your father. What is he thinking as you are approaching the door, about to open it for the first time in about a week and a half?
Kind of adjusts his camera straps, pulls on his denim jacket, straightening that out. He's on the Greyhound. He had been arranging the photos as if he had been getting ready for like a presentation or pitch. And he kind of looks at that stack in his hands. His hands are kind of shaking a bit, but kind of just slowly kind of begins to twist the knob after he unlocks it. And there's the hesitancy as he kind of opens the door. And he kind of peers in, first looking at the kitchen table and seeing that's unadorned. And he kind of then turns over to the couch.
As you look to the couch, you see both your parents and they kind of jump slightly at you. They're not in the Neurocasters at the moment. But you do see them and they look very gaunt. Very, is the word emaciated, I believe? Just very skinny. But they're looking at you, and your father weakly smiles at you. Oh, he's all right, and you've come back. Yeah. Look at you, out there surviving in the world we barely recognize anymore.
And he'll kind of just kind of stumble over himself as he kind of rushes forward to at least kind of collapse on the couch and hug him. And realizing he's hugging a bit too tight, kind of leans back.
Oh, you got a strong grip there, son.
When did you guys remove him?
Your mother, her voice is trembling a little bit. I think it was a few days ago, honey. We were worried, Ryan. We didn't see you. The world, it's not kind. But you're here, you're safe. Yeah. And she goes to reach her arms around you and gives you a hug.
He kind of just leans at her. Yeah, I'm here.
Where have you been?
I left for a bit, but I'm here now, and I have all these photos I want to show you.
Your father's like, "Hey, buddy, it's okay. We're here. We're here." Yeah. And his hand is kind of shaking as it goes to you. It's kind of like that shake of someone who hasn't had the nutrients to give their body the strength that they need.
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, wait." And he says, show me the photos.
Really?
Yes.
He kind of gets up a bit, pats his jacket, kind of forgetting he's where he had it organized before. He's kind of spilling them out. I went on a trip across California, and we saw all these cool things. There was this robot in the bar, and I took a picture and called him Big Fella.
Oh my gosh. These are incredible.
Yeah.
The world out there, it's still...
Yeah, it's
beautiful. And his hand is shaking as he's holding one of the images.
Yeah.
After everything, I didn't think there could still be moments like this.
I was thinking, I mean, like, that those things are still out there, and I know you guys probably need a little bit to get feeling better, but I was thinking maybe we could go out and see them together.
Your mother says, "Ryan, these are something special. You brought back pieces of life and something we thought we lost."
You don't know how long I've been waiting to just see you guys.
And the last thing you hear as we fade to black, your father says, he glances at his wife and then he meets your eyes, Ryan. "Yeah, I think we're ready to see that ocean." Thank you for listening to The Electric State, The Path to Dawn. I'm your game master and narrator, Maia. Joining me are Arcturus as Ryan, Meg as Catherine, and Serge as Luke. This podcast is available on all major platforms, so don't forget to share it with your friends, family, and anyone who loves a good story. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the road next time.